Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Buku Publishing and Sable Hunter. Tonight I'm chatting with the very talented authors from the Red Hot Cajun Nights, Kristen Lovell, Desiree Holt, Randy Alexander, Renee Folsom, Sable Hunter, and Shyla Colt. Welcome, ladies, and thank you for joining me tonight.
Hi there.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you here. Randy, I want to start with you, and I want to talk about the Red Hot authors. You've done the Red Hot Valentines, the Red Hot Zoom, the Red Hot Treats, and tonight the latest, which we'll be hearing about, the Red Hot Cajun Nights. Can you talk about this a little bit and tell us how it came about?
Well, sure. I had this idea that instead of doing a box set, which I had done quite a few of, maybe we should do a collective. So it's a collection of authors. Each of them writes their own books, publishes their own books, does their own book covers, and has it edited. So they're in charge of their own books and the income and everything from it. And we just publish them each for 99 cents. And then the book blurbs and links from the back, from all of the rest of the books, are in the backs of all of our books. And so it's a great promotional effort. All these authors are promoting each other, and we're doing really well. A lot of times we end up pretty high in the rankings on Amazon.
Yeah, you're doing really well. Can you tell everybody where they can pick these Red Hot collections up?
Yes. If you want to look at our website, which is redhotauthors.com, it has them listed by holiday, and we do them by holidays, which is kind of fun. And if you click on them, the books, it'll show you all of the links of where to go find them.
Awesome. Great. Kristen, did you just join us?
I did.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was going to start with your book. Your story is titled One Cajun Night, and it's about a plus-size lady in her 40s and a Navy SEAL. Can you tell us a little bit about it, what inspired you to write that story?
I've written military romances before, but I had never written a Navy SEAL one. And I had had this story in my mind for the longest time, and the characters would just not leave me alone. And when I heard about this theme, everything just kind of fell into line, and it clicked, and I'm like, I'm doing it. It definitely has a BBW, a younger male, has a military aspect. And, of course, you have Mardi Gras, which gives you a reason to party all night long.
Oh, yeah. Desiree, your story is titled The Cajun Spice, and it and, of course, a sexy Cajun. Can you give us a little bit about what that is and what inspired you to write it?
Well, I love New Orleans. I've been there several times, once for Mardi Gras, and I just thought, what about if my heroine was a woman who was supposed to go on a trip to New Orleans with her fiancé, who turned out to be an embezzler and left her stranded, along with two tickets to New Orleans? and she's determined she's going to go and have a good time. And what can make her have a better time than a really sexy Cajun man? And I kind of stole the idea from him, of him, from a book by Linda Howard called Kill and Tell. Her hero was a really sexy Cajun, and he's always stayed with me. So that's how I kind of created him, and then I just, you know, added my own flavor. And so they meet. They share a cab from the airport. And she doesn't know that he's an FBI agent, and he's been sent to her to follow her to see if she really knows anything about the money that this guy embezzled, and it's how they get together and what happens. And anyway, it's a fun story, and that's exactly what it's supposed to be.
And a beautiful cover. I love the cover.
Thank you. I have to give credit to Safari Heat for the cover. Carrie Abbott did a great job on it.
Yeah, it looks great. Shyla, your book is titled Behind the Veil, and it's a paranormal that includes shifters and witches. Can you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired it?
Yes, I really, really, really love the dystopian theme that's kind of prevailing in movies and everything right now. And I wanted to think mm-hmm. about how I could do that, but do it in a different way. So it got me thinking, well, what if the world didn't end with solar flares or anything humans did, but what if it was a paranormal reason? So in my book, Behind the Veil, what's happened is that the supernatural creatures revealed themselves, and then there was kind of war between them and humans, and then there was a little bit of war between the supernatural people that wanted to keep the order and the ones who wanted to rule. So now we're dealing with the aftermath and peace treaties. So my character is a witch who, along with other witches, got together and they made what they refer to as the Veil, which was a protective barrier which protected certain cities. So now she's actually marrying the king of the shifters, and they're forming an alliance. So that's what's going on with this. But so you have romance, but you also have a lot of action, which
yeah,
I like to mix it up a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Randy, your book is titled All Smoke, No Fire, and it centers around country music.
It does.
Can you tell us a little bit about that and what inspired you? I know you have, is it Rowdy you have on the cover?
That is Jackson Young.
Well, Rowdy Nation. Is that what it is, the Rowdy Nation?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's his group. His followers are the Rowdy Nation. Yeah, he and I have become friends. He wrote a song that the lyrics are used in the book as well, and so he's also on the cover, which is wonderful. And the book is about a songwriter, a country songwriter, and he wants to sell his song to this woman who is on stage, and she's kind of a big star, and she ends up yanking him out onto the stage and making him sing the song in front of all these people, and then realizes, you know, how much talent he has, and invites her to ride her bus with her down to New Orleans because she's in a parade. She's playing her guitar on a parade float a few days before Mardi Gras, and she wants him to come with and see if he's got the talent that she thinks he has. And, of course, somehow they seem to fall in love.
Sounds good. Sounds interesting. And Sable, yours is titled Pretty Face, and it's about an online relationship and when it's time for those two people to meet. Can you tell us a little bit about that? What inspired you to write it?
Oh, I've had the most fun with this book. It's about a strong woman. She is scarred by abuse, but she's head of the physics department at LSU. And she hungers to have a relationship with a man, and she doesn't feel like she can do it face-to-face. So she creates a fake identity and a fake Facebook page, fake pictures, meets this wonderful guy. They fall in love, and he thinks he's fell in love with a woman named Sage Donovan, but it's actually Cody Napier, you know, just made all this stuff up. They're really in love. I mean, she shares as much of herself as she can, even some old pictures. But anyway, he decides to come to Louisiana to meet her, and it just freaks her out because she can't meet him. She's not the person that he's looking for. So through a series of wild things, he ends up actually working for her as a carpenter, redoing her kitchen as Cody, still talking to Sage online. And so she's trying to figure out a way she can be with him, and it works Mardi Gras in with the Mardi Gras balls at New Roads, and she actually takes him to 3 Mardi Gras balls, and she's in this mask and as Sage, and on the third night she reveals herself that she's Cody. So, I mean, it's just I work in all the Mardi Gras mystique. I work in the balls. I work in a lot of the lore and the things about Mardi Gras that people may not know behind the scenes, and I just had a blast with it, and it's different from any book I've written before, but I've got some really positive response from it. My editor said it's the best book I've written. I said, don't tell me that. I wrote it in 7 days. What does that mean about all the rest of them? But anyway, I've had a really good time with it, and it's got some good response. So I think I have actually, it's a sequel, not a sequel in like you have to read the first book, but our Red Hot and Boom July book introduced Cody and Hunter, and this book told their story. So I would go inside the book if I could. I had a great time with it.
Yeah, it's a great story. Renee, your title is Trapped, A Twisted Wolf Tale, and that's a paranormal about twin sisters who happen to be witches. What
mm-hmm.
inspired you to write this, and can you give us a little peek inside it?
Yeah, well, actually, the whole Twisted Wolf Tale series is based on modern-day retellings of classic fairy tales, and so this one is about Snow White. And I went ahead and gave them new identities because I really wanted to put a more personal twist on this and also a more modern twist as well. And so the seven dwarfs are actually werewolves, and they are mostly in human form throughout the book. I really don't delve into the paranormal aspect of them too much, but the two girls are witches, and one is a good witch and one's an evil witch. And so the evil witch is trying to get back at her sister for certain things that happened in the past, and love prevails in the end. So.
Okay. And did you say the dwarves are werewolves?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
I gave them all new names, but I kind of shaped their personalities around the Disney dwarves, you know, so each one of them has a certain, you know, like characteristic of the Disney dwarves. Yeah, so there is Happy and Sneezy and Dopey and Doc and all that. Yep.
Cool. I myself have never been to Mardi Gras, but Desiree, I know you mentioned that you did. Can you tell us, share something with us from your Mardi Gras experience?
Oh, my God. It's like every party ever been to multiplied 1,000 times. The streets are jammed. The bars are jammed. Even when there aren't parades, there are bands, small bands playing in the street, and they have you ever seen these funeral bands they have where they have the guys in the tuxedos and the women holding the parasols?
Yeah.
They have those, and they have, you know, trumpeters marching with them and playing. And they go up and down the streets. There are all kinds of different parades because there are all these different crews, and they all have different purposes. And some of them are in afternoon parades. Some of them are in evening parades. They have different routes that they follow. But almost all of them go through the French Quarter. And the French Quarter during Mardi Gras, I swear, it's like being in a room with 10,000 people that holds 100. But everybody's having fun. Everybody's having a good time. The bars all have go cups because people get their drinks to go. They're dancing in the streets. From the floats, they're throwing beads. People are on the balconies. You've seen the pictures of the apartment houses in the quarter. Okay, so they're on the balconies throwing beads. And they've got music playing in their places, too. I mean, it's just, it's a really wild let-it-all-hang-out time and just a huge amount of fun. I tried to put some of that flavor into my book because I wanted Daisy to be able to get into that feeling since she got shafted so badly. And I wanted Mark, my hero, to see her and want her to have a good time because even though he's there supposedly to follow her as a suspect, he falls for her and he's in a quandary and he doesn't know what to do. And on the one hand, he wants to question her, and on the other hand, he wants to tell her to forget everything and enjoy herself. So there's a lot of interplay there. And I put in some places that I'd been in New Orleans, too. But it's just, it is a week-long party. And if you don't have a good time, then there's something wrong with you.
I have it on my to-do list. Sable, do you have a Mardi Gras experience you could share with us?
Yes. When I've been in New Orleans quite a bit, I have determined, and this is just when you live down there, you know, Mardi Gras is two faces to it, just like a mask and not a mask. You have the public side where everybody comes to the parades and all the different crews, and you get the throws and go to the bars and all the colorful things. But if you live down there, Mardi Gras is a little different because every one of those crews, they're made up of different people, and there's balls and everything, and there's parties, and it depends on who you are, who you know. It's very political. You may get in. There's some balls down there that they have that the governor wants to go to and he can't get an invitation to. So, you know, there's rivalry among the crews, and some people, you know, they just love to be in a part of this group or that group. And there's a lot of behind-the-scenes drama that goes into Mardi Gras. So if you get to be there early, you get to work on the floats. I mean, there's just so much that goes into it that you can look at it. It's like anything else, be it the romance writing world or politics or whatever. You've got what's the face of it that's presented to the public and to the TVs, and then you've got the behind-the-scenes, the people that make that stuff happen. And I've seen a little bit of both sides of it, and I love it. I think that there's nothing richer. It's something that's been in existence since in New Orleans since the late 1700s. The Alexa, the Grand Duke of Russia, came over when he was one of real good friends to Custer, and he's the one that actually chose the colors that we still use for Mardi Gras, the purple and the green and the gold. The song that we sang was one of his favorite songs. You know, it's just very rich in history and timely, and, you know, like what happened after Katrina when they didn't know if they'd have Mardi Gras. I mean, it's just a lot of things that make it something that's not just a party, even though it's one of the greatest parties in the world. It's also something that's tied into every person's life that's ever lived in New Orleans. Mardi Gras is part of their soul.
Oh, yeah. Shyla, how about you? Have you been to Mardi Gras?
I haven't been to Mardi Gras. I've been to New Orleans quite a few times as a flight attendant, but trying to get a bunch of days off in a row was very difficult.
Yeah.
It's an amazing, incredible place, though, and I always had very interesting experiences just really talking to the people there. I mean, there's just nothing like the people that live there. So
oh, yeah.
I had a lot of fun just reliving that as I was writing it. And I'm also actually going back to New Orleans this year, so that'll be a lot of fun for me as well.
Oh, nice. How about you, Randy?
Yes, I have been to Mardi Gras in the late 90s. My husband was living down there. He was doing engineering on a job. He works in the water wastewater industry, and as you know, New Orleans should be underwater. It's lower than the water table. But so he was down there for about 6 months working on making sure that this was quite a while before Katrina happened, but trying to get everything up to date down there. And his time down there was ending right after Mardi Gras, and his company flew me down there for a week at Mardi Gras. And because he lived down there, he knew quite a few people. And so they brought us around to all of their favorite parades and had us on St. Charles. We were up in someone's house on the balcony overlooking it. And, you know, they knew all the great spots to go. And one thing that they would say is, we kind of laugh at some of the things that were happening around us at Mardi Gras. And the woman would always say, Louisianians always take their Mardi Gras very seriously, and it's very true. It's almost like it's a religion for them, but it was a lot of fun. It was definitely a great time. The parades are wonderful and exciting, and we didn't make it down on Mardi Gras Day for Zulu because it was pouring rain that day. So we watched it on TV, though, which was close enough.
Sounds fine. Kristen, how about you?
I have not been to Mardi Gras. It's actually one of the things that I've always, it's on my bucket list of places to go and things to see.
Mm-hmm. Shyla, do you have an excerpt that you would like to share with us from Behind the Veil?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
We'll go ahead and get yours out there.
right? The world as we knew it didn't end in fire or nuclear radiation. It ended the same way it began, with magic. Once the creatures that lived in the darkness stepped into the light, the world changed forever. Eyes were forced open, and parents had reason to clutch their children to their breasts and look on with horror. The bitter abused and oppressed declared open season. Bones broke like brittle twigs. Flesh was ripped and peeled back to reveal the mushy red bits like a grotesque new fruit. The shifters tasted blood like a fine wine straight from the source on the streets in plain view of the very people who had ruled in ignorance. I understood then why they thought us to be monsters. At our very worst, wares could be truly horrifying. In those days, there was no safe places. Everything burned, and the darkest of our supernatural community had their day. They rejoiced in the chaos, drank down the fear, incited riots, and painted a picture of imbalance which has taken years to undo. The vivid imagery of unseeing eyes, limbs, and blood on the concrete reinforces the need for a task at hand. War came on a blistering hot summer day in the bayou. I knew the moment the sky clouded over when a mist crept over the ground and the wind kicked up. Something supernatural was at play, but I could have never imagined the scale of destruction that would occur. Today I'll do my damnedest to spread the one thing we need more of, peace. I step off the wraparound front porch with bare feet. There's nothing like the connection to Mother Earth to ground me. I need that now.
Very good.
That's really good.
Thanks, ladies.
It is.
I have not gotten...
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I have not gotten to read it yet. I'm trying to read my way through them, and my reading time has been very short the last couple of weeks, but I'm moving that one up to the front of my list.
It sounds great. Now, am I right when I say that these are all 99 cent for a limited time? Is that correct, Mandy?
That is correct, yes.
And you guys are in the process of a blog hop, is that correct?
Yes, we've got a blog hop going on. If you want to jump over to...
Can you tell us a little bit about the blog hop, Randy?
Oh, sure. Okay. If you want to jump over to any of our websites, and you can start out with mine, it's randy@randyalexander.com. We've got a list of all of the places where the Red Hot authors are blogging, and at each blog stop, they're giving away prizes. On mine, I'm giving away a couple sets of e-books and also a couple of bags of candy. So one is a cowgirl bark and the other is a cowboy bark. So something a little bit different. And then we also have grand prizes, and there's a rafflecopter on each of our sites that you can enter the grand prize, and we're giving away a Kindle and a box of paperback books. And then the third prize is a swag from each of the authors we sent to you. So I hope you can jump onto the blog hop and try to win some great prizes from us.
Oh, yeah, really great prizes. Desiree, do you have an excerpt you can share with us?
I sure do. I have it right here. It starts out at the airport. First order of business, however, was to catch a cab to the hotel, change into something comfortable, and wander through the French Quarter. The curb was jammed with people there to celebrate Mardi Gras. Daisy managed to squeeze herself into a space and waited for the next taxi in line to roll up to her. Montmartre Hotel, she told the driver as he got out to grab her suitcase. Mind if we share the ride, Cher? The voice behind her was deep and hot, rolling over her like warm melted chocolate. Daisy turned to see who it was, and there he was, as if she'd conjured him up, her spicy Cajun male. Sexy for sure, he was tall and lean, with a thick shock of black hair and startling blue eyes. She couldn't stop staring at him. Excuse me, Cher, do you still want the cab? What? Oh, he realized she was standing there like an idiot. Oh, yes. Well, I heard you say you were going to the Montmartre Hotel. So happens I'm going there myself. Think we can share a ride? Maybe this was the distraction she was looking for, a ride with a man who oozed sex appeal and could take her mind off her troubles for a while. She'd wished for him, right? No sense letting Craig ruin any more of her life, at least as far as this trip went. She gave herself a mental shake. I'd love to share a cab with you. Great, great. He held the cab door for her, waited for her to slide in, then settled himself beside her. God, he smelled so good. she took a surreptitious sniff. Patchouli. Wow. She hadn't smelled that in a very long time. Nerve endings blunted by the shock of her situation suddenly snapped and sizzled to life. She took a deep breath, the fragrance of patchouli teasing her senses even more, and did her best to compose herself. Don't usually see beautiful ladies heading for Mardi Gras alone. The smooth as bourbon voice slid over her and snagged her attention. She glanced over at him, which was nearly her undoing. The look in those deep eyes nearly melted her panties. Excuse me? He grinned, a twist of his lips that was almost lethal. I was just remarking I'm surprised that someone as gorgeous as you is hitting Mardi Gras by yourself. Should she tell him? Why not? She'd never see him again. And she didn't have to give him Craig's name. It was already in all the media, but thankfully without hers being linked to it. I had a fiancé who was supposed to go with me, but he's in the wind. She lifted her shoulders in what she hoped was a casual shrug. He cocked an eyebrow. I can hardly believe any man in his right mind would walk out on you. Yeah, well, it happened, that and a lot more. She forced a smile. Anyway, hasn't anyone ever told you that pickup line is pretty outdated? He laughed a deep, sensual sound. I guess it is, but in this case, I mean it.
Yeah, I like that.
I do, too.
Thank
Very
you.
Very nice. Kristen? Do you want to share an excerpt?
I do have an excerpt. I'm just going to read from the very beginning of the book. That way everybody's
okay. All
in there. Don't have to catch anybody up. Shut the hell up, Ridge, I shoved at his shoulder. The burly male barely avoided colliding with Trevor, righting himself at the last second. He laughed it off. Hey, I'm just looking out for you. I mean, you're 30, bro. It's time to man the ass up and get a chain. He flexed one buff bicep, his hand fisting as he grunted. Well, shit, when you say it like that. I barely suppressed the urge to roll my eyes at him. Ridge was the only man I knew petitioning his friends to get married, probably because he was tired of being the only one. There were plenty of married seals, but we only worked with two, and Ryan was one of them. Leave him alone, Ridge. He'll make a move when he's ready. Bishop hung back a step, pretending he wasn't with us as he smiled at a petite young blonde. By the way, he was looking at her, like he was a hungry man who'd been starved in the desert for 40 days. He was all about the hookup, not a permanent. I couldn't blame him. Bishop was 28, but he'd been married and divorced already. Seeing what he went through stopped me from settling with Elena. I knew something was missing from my relationship with her. We got along great, the sex was decent, and she had curves all the places I liked. But there was no spark. She was a nice girl, but she went along with things too easily. I needed spunk. I needed a challenge. Hell, I needed someone to have me foaming at the mouth to get better every time the doctor landed. Trevor shoved his way between Ryan and me as he caught up with us. What are we going to do tonight, boys? He swung an arm around each of our shoulders. Ridge was well-built, but he had nothing on Trevor Bishop. You two are going to try to get laid, and I'm going to sit back and watch you make fools of yourselves. Ryan's grin was cocky, like the man himself. Before Emily, he thought he was God's gift to women. After Emily, he was God's gift to women. Oh, there was no touching. Bishop can work on getting laid, and I'll be kicking back a few beers with you. Hooking up for the fun of it just wasn't, well, fun anymore. See, this is why you need to find the girl and settle down. Ryan resumed his marriage crusade. You already act like you're married. All that's missing is the missus. Don't do it, Johnson. The right woman won't force you down that aisle. She'll be good day by day. Bishop was definitely still bitter after his divorce. Women were objects to him now, objects that could be bought, sold, and did on the daily. I was their rope and a tug of whales. I wasn't as easy as they were, which made me easier to jerk around. It's got nothing to do with the ring. Everything to do with finding the right one.
That sounds
great. And
that's
the end of my exit.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I have a question for all of you ladies. Do you have a real-life hero that you will normally draw your leading male characters from, Shyla?
It'll sound really cliche, but I won't say I draw it all from him, but I really consult with my husband, who's a Marine for almost 10 years, and he just has a lot of stories and has seen and heard a lot of things, so a lot of times as far as male perspective or different things, I really bounce things off of him.
Oh, yeah, that's a great resource right there.
And he was an armorer, so any kind of weaponry.
Yeah.
You know, I go to him. But he loves that. He loves to talk guns, so we both win.
Nice. How about you, Renee?
I'm going to be cliche as well, my husband. A lot of the experiences that I have with him or experiences that he's had before, you know, I often will play off of those experiences in my own writing. And he's actually quite a bit older than me, too, so he's lived and learned and moved on, and so he doesn't mind talking to me about all of his old stories and everything. Kind of puts a little bit of a laugh into some of my stories. So,
yeah. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
I'll tell you, my late husband was really my hero. I mean, he was my prince, my everything in my life, and he's the one who really encouraged me with my writing. He used to let me read scenes to him to tell me whether I got the male POV right, and he'd give me suggestions. And I mean, he really pushed me. He really believed in me strongly, and I put a little bit of him in every one of my heroes.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's awesome.
I love that. Me, on the other hand, I kind of model mine after who I'm looking for.
Uh-oh,
okay. Knowing that matchup is what's in my book. Kind of my way.
Then we'll know how to keep our eye out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Randy, do you have an excerpt that you would like to share with us?
I do. Thank you. This is from All Smoke, No Fire. It's the third book in the All Cowboy series. Dex Marshall leaned on his guitar case backstage at Whiskey Pete's Casino in Rapid City, South Dakota, watching Mary Lou Roselle perform her most popular song in front of the sellout crowd. Everyone sang along, including Dex, as he waited for the concert to end, waited for his meeting with her after the show. The meeting where he'd hopefully sell her the newest song he'd written. Mary Lou had a voice that could melt butter, soft and rich. She could hit the high notes, too. He'd never imagined that watching her perform from backstage would be so much more personal than if he'd been sitting in the audience with his friends. "Can I get another mic stand out here?" Mary Lou looked backstage, and the crew jumped into action. "One with two mics, please. One down here." She held her hand at the level of her guitar. "And one up here." Her hand lifted to about the top of her head. "Thanks, guys." Beck stood way back as the crew jumped into action, grabbing stands and testing mics. She smiled at the audience. "I like to get my money's worth out of those roadies. You know what I mean?" The crowd clapped and whistled. The spotlight narrowed to just her, camouflaging the three crew members dressed in black who rushed out onto the stage and set up the mics next to her while she sang a slow ballad. After the song and the applause ended, she turned to look backstage where Dax stood. "I've got a surprise for you." She pointed in his direction and looked out at the audience. "We have a local boy, a songwriter, who I want to bring out on stage right now to sing the song he wrote for me." Dax's heart thudded to a halt, but then he relaxed. It couldn't be him. It had to be someone else. He pulled up the stiff collar of his new blue plaid shirt and tugged the sleeve down over his wrist. But when he looked around backstage, everyone stared right at him. Oh, shit. Mary Lou put her hand beside her mouth and leaned close to the mic. "He didn't know I was going to do this, so be kind to him, okay?" The audience erupted in applause. She flung her hand in a grand gesture toward Dax. "Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time ever live and on stage, Dax Marshall." Oh, shit. His face heated and he gripped his guitar case tighter. Shouts and whistles came from the crowd. A guy backstage grabbed Dax's guitar case and set it on the ground. "Pull yourself together, buddy. This is your big break right here." Dax stood staring out at Mary Lou, who smiled at him from under the bright light.
I'm not sure I can. Sure you can. The man slung the guitar strap over Dax's head and handed him a pick. He turned Dax toward Mary Lou and gave him a mighty shove out onto the stage. Oh, shit.
Very good.
I love it. I love it. Oh, my God.
That's a great way to end it.
I can just see it.
That was great.
Thank you.
Sable, do you have a little bit of pretty face you want to share with us?
Yeah. Remember, Cody is the real girl and Sage is her alias. The old plantation had been transformed into a wonderland. Huge oak trees were bedazzling with tiny colored lights, mostly white, but with a smattering of green, gold, and purple. The atmosphere was festive. This ball wouldn't be as formal as the one from the night before. Tonight was the celebration of the Mardi Gras Indians, so the decorations held a distinct Native American influence. Many of the revelers were here, not only in masks, but also in feathered costumes. Not Cody. She had worn the magical green gown that Marnie and Trinity had chosen for her. This one was strapless with a full skirt and a filmy wrap. She felt like a fairy princess. As she turned to walk down the tree-lined lane, a movement from the corner of her eye drew her attention. A flash of white caused her to gasp. Had she seen a ghost? Cody moved closer to the trees where she'd seen the movement. She'd been to River Bend several times, and the legend of the place always made her sad. One of the daughters of the original owners back in the late 1700s had fallen in love with the son of another plantation owner. Her mother forbade the relationship. She only wanted her daughter to marry a French nobleman. The daughter bent to her mother's will, her heart broken. But the day of her wedding, she'd snapped. Running from the house down the lane of trees, she had thrown herself against the trunk of a giant oak, shattering her skull. Now, on evenings such as this, her ghost would appear, fleeing the arms of a man she didn't love, incapable of living another day without the one who owned her heart. Cody understood her devotion. When Hunter found out her lies, he was going to leave her, and she didn't know if she'd want to survive. Two more days to be with him was all she had, so Cody was determined to make the best of them. Another flash of white caused Cody to freeze in her tracks, but then the rush of wings made her realize it was only a bird, not a spirit. Sage? When he called her name, she spun around, her full skirt billowing out around her. Hunter thought she was the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Oh, Hunter, you startled me. I was out here scaring myself, remembering ghost tales and chasing night birds. Going to her, he placed an arm around her. I'm here to protect you now. I need you. Her admission was about more than safety. She leaned into his chest, and he put a finger beneath her chin and raised her face for his kiss. Delicately, he caressed her lips with his, letting his tongue tease the seam until she parted her own and welcomed him in. An indrawn breath and the pressing of her body to his own gave him assurance that she was glad to see him. I missed you today. Cody cuddled against him. I still can't believe we're together. No more just talking on the phone or texting. I have you here near enough to touch. As they embraced, strains of Ico, Ico floated out among the trees. The iconic Mardi Gras tune made famous by the movie The Skeleton Key. I want to touch. I can't wait to take this mask off. He let his finger trace over her face, dipping beneath the feather that lay across her scar. Cody jerked back as if he'd burned her. Not till tomorrow. Hunter didn't understand. Okay, baby, we'll wait. He took her hand. Don't be upset. A voice came over the speaker introducing the band and the entertainment evening. Let's go inside. Shall we dance? Hunter took her in his arms, and they immediately rose. Any excuse to hold you is fine with me. He led her out into the dance floor where they swayed and twirled. Hunter enjoyed this type of dancing more than the mere formal from the night before. But when something became raining on him, he looked up in confusion. What's going on? Throws, she exclaimed with a giggle. Look, gold coins and beads, even some candy. Hunter helped her pick up a few. When he rose up, she tossed something else at him, which he deftly caught. What's this? A key, she announced with a mysterious smile. Room 4. Upstairs and to your right. We're staying here tonight. Give me 15 minutes and join me, and I'll give you a surprise you won't soon forget. With that intriguing offer, she gathered up some of their goodies and left him standing there with an open mouth and a hard cock. Upstairs, Cody hurried to change clothes. She humped the dress, made sure her hair was okay, and used some concealer to try and cover up the scars on her breast and hip. They weren't nearly as prominent as the one on her face, so she hoped they wouldn't be noticeable, especially with the lights as dim as she had them. After finishing the application of her makeup, Cody pulled a Mardi Gras T-shirt over her head. She was wearing nothing else. When she heard the knock at the door, her heart beat harder than Hunter's fist. Come in, she called. Hunter didn't know what to expect. He entered the room and was met with a sight right out of his fantasies. Throw me something, mister, Sage shouted. As she did, she lifted her T-shirt, bearing two round, firm, high mounds that he couldn't wait to get his hands on. God, you're perfect, he said, tossing two or three strands of beads toward her. Sage caught them, stripped off her shirt, and slid the beads over her head. Other than that ornate mask he'd come to resent, she was absolutely naked and fucking unbelievable. Hunter's cock was so strutted he could barely walk. Do you want me? She asked in a teasing voice. Hell yeah, was all he could manage to say. All the blood in his body had left his brain and was on its way south. Come get me, she crooked her finger, and he followed her to the bed where she lay down on top of the covers like an offering to the gods. Take your clothes off. I want to look at you. Hunter had never dressed so quickly. Even before he climbed on the bed, her hands were reaching out for him. If I had you in my life, how would I ever leave for work in the mornings?
That's really all. Good.
Wow.
Wow.
I got a lot of reading to do.
Yes.
Wow, these are all awesome. There's actually 8 authors included in this Red Hot Cajun Nights. I just want to mention the other 2 authors and their titles. They couldn't join us tonight, and that is Jody Redford, and her book is titled Hurricanes and Handcuffs, and Megan McMenemy, and hers is Wicked Perfection. So that's 8 books total in this Red Hot Cajun Nights. Randy, what's next for the Red Hot authors?
The next that we have is going to be Veterans Day, which is coming this fall. And so we have quite a few authors that are interested in writing for that one. And that's the nice thing about our Red Hot authors. You can kind of come and go depending on your schedule. If you, you know, if you were too busy this January and couldn't write your book for February 1st release, you know, you can pass on it and come back for the next one.
Yeah.
And
that's
for,
really great.
Yeah. For Veterans Day, my book is going to be interesting because I'm going to be writing it with my street team. And we're going to have an ex-military cowboy and who's going to help a woman who owns a horse ranch, and she hasn't left the ranch in years because of some trauma in her life. And so they're going to use the horses to rehabilitate each other and get back to, you know, get the PTSD past them. And then we're going to donate all of the proceeds from this one book to an organization that actually does that. It raises horses to help PTSD in military. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. That sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. I like when that moment when I'm reading a book and suddenly I get it about the title of the book. I like to know where you ladies get your titles from. Shyla?
Oh, man. I knew you were going to say
that. You knew you were going to be first.
I just have the hardest time with titles, actually, because I really want it to make sense with the book. So I actually find I don't choose my title almost to the very end where I feel I can summarize the journey. Very, very few times I have the title when I actually start writing.
Oh, okay. How about you, Desiree?
I get mine in the shower. That's where I do my best thinking. My kids tease me about it all the time. I swear to God, when I have writer's block or I'm trying to come up with a name for something, I have this house that my husband and I built. It's a beautiful bathroom in the master suite, and it's got a huge shower. And when I can't think, you know, they say rinse out your head. I sit in the shower, and my brain starts cooking, and that's when I come up with my ideas.
Sometimes
they'll just pop up when I'm doing something and I don't expect it, but I swear to God, I have a magic shower.
Hey.
I can relate. I have one of those, too.
That's a good book title.
She's talking about the shower. I happen to think of your shower. So how about you, say? Well, how do you come up with your titles?
Well, several different ways. I have shower inspiration also. Pretty Face, I actually saw a poster, and it was about a woman whose face wasn't that pretty. And I sort of took off from that, and how people will always tell you, well, you know, that's sort of almost like a put-down sometimes. And many of my titles are Elvis songs. I grab one of his songs, and it inspires me in some way or the other. And like for Justice, I just wanted to use his name. I just love the name Justice. And so after I started writing the book, I realized the whole thing was about, you know, how much Charlie loved Justice. So I called it Loving Justice. So sometimes I'll use a song. Sometimes I'll use a phrase. Sometimes it'll be something that comes to me in the middle of the book, and I'll change the title. So, you know, I think titles evolve like covers evolve in your head, and plot evolves. And by the time you get through, you have a cohesive whole. And that's what we're looking for.
Okay. How about you, Renee?
Well, for the Twisted Wolf Tales series, I actually went a different route with my titles. And I designed them around the actual book cover design so that I could have a bit more of a brand for the whole series. So all of the titles begin and end with the letter T, and they're all five-letter words. So there's tempt, trust, and trapped. And so my editor really did not like me using the word trapped because it's such an old version of, you know, trapped ending in ED.
Uh-huh.
So she was just like, you need to explain that to readers. And I'm like, I think they'll get it. So it's
yeah.
it all kind of, you know, the titles do relate to the stories, but they also have a more of a branding. You know, the way that I came up with them is because of the brand. You know, so it's a little bit different than past titles that I've come up with. And Trapped is a very interesting title because it's not, I mean, Belichick hates the word trapped ending in T, so.
Mm-hmm. Randy?
Oh, gosh. You know, I hate to say it, but more often than not, I will get a story idea and I'll write it out in a couple paragraphs and I'll post it for my street team and say, let me have it, ladies.
Really?
Yes. I'm pretty bad with titles, so I definitely like to leave it up to someone else. And they're very creative. They're wonderful and creative people and always help me out.
Oh, that's interesting. Kristen, can you tell us what you're currently working on? Do we still have Kristen? Actually, I think she's calling back in. Let me see that. Kristen?
Yes, can you hear me now?
Can you tell us what you're currently working on?
I'm actually working on four different books right now. I have a bunch of publisher deadlines, and then I also have my indie stuff still going. So I currently have young adult paranormal, adult contemporary, adult military, a pseudonym, and all of that's going on at the same time.
Oh, wow. Okay. How about you, Renee?
I'm actually working on a sequel to a novel that I just published in December. It's actually a romance, a contemporary romance about gamer geeks. And so the first book is Game Changer, and I haven't come up with a title for the second book yet, but I left the first book off on a pretty wicked cliffhanger. So I need to get that done sooner rather than later before my readers kill me.
Desiree, what are you currently working on?
I have, let's see, right now I'm working on my promo because I have six titles releasing this month. Don't ask me what I'm doing. But today I just turned into my Vader reader, the most recent one of my Naked Cowboy series. I'm working on the second book in a football series that I'm doing for Kensington. The first one is done and releases July 7th. I have a story that was part of a box set, and we broke the box set, and we each took our stories back, and I'm using it to launch a new line of action-adventure series called the Omega Team. So I've got some work to do on that, and then I have to write the next book to go with it because I want to release the two of them at the same time. And I have four books that came out a few years ago that my publisher wants me to revise and heat up, and she wants to release them one after the other in 4 weeks. So I'm trying to get that done. I think
oh,
that's
wow.
all for
bless
wow.
your heart.
That's
yeah.
a lot.
but I write fast. I write 8 hours a day. I mean, writing is mostly what I do. I write 8 hours a day, and I think it comes from my newspaper days. I have the ability to write fast. So, you know, it's not like I'm really struggling to get it down on paper.
And do you have a lot of time? I mean, do you find time, Desiree, that you can read for pleasure?
Every night. That's my time, and I guard it jealously every single night. I'm done writing at 5 o'clock every day, and I have stuff that I do. Sometimes my daughter comes over. Her husband works out of town, and he's only home on weekends. So Sometimes she comes over and we have dinner together, and she'll watch a little television with me. But then she leaves and I get in bed and I read 3-4 hours every night. I've always been an avid reader. My mother was, my sister was, and I just devour books. I love it.
Well, that's great that you can still find time to do that. I know it's hard for a lot of authors to juggle all that, but that's really great.
Well, my children are all grown. They're all out of the house. They're all adults. They're all living their own lives. So it's not really as if I have something else that's taking up my time. But but my writing is my job, and I love it, and I love the people that I get to meet through it, and I'm enjoying life with it.
That's great. That's great. Randy, what are you working on currently?
I'm not really working on any books right now. I've got a few started. I'm taking a couple weeks off, though, and if I can kind of bug my friend Jackson Young again. Tomorrow is February 3rd on Wednesday, is the world premiere of his new music video, Drunken Angel. And I was privileged to be have a cameo appearance. So actually, I ended up in there a few times in this music video. Yeah, which is very exciting. So, and my new book, Legend Awakening, which is a new adult, is featured in this video. So if I could have everyone go to tomorrow to jacksonyoungcountry.com and take a look at me being in a music video, it would be really fun. I love the song. It's just a great song. You did a good job with it, and the video is done just excellent. And it's get to check it off of my bucket list, too.
Wow. That's exciting. Sable, what are you currently working on?
Going crazy. I have 4 books released also at Loving Justice, and, of course, we had the Calorie 12-pack. I had the Pretty Face, and I'm frantically trying to finish Be My Love Song, which is an event Valentine anthology with some of the Buku authors that's supposed to go out, like, well, as soon as I finish, it'll go out. But I'm nearing completion on that. Ryan and I are working on One Man's Treasure, and it's about to go up for pre-order. And then I was looking at my list today. In fact, I've talked to Randy online at one point in time. I said, you know, I don't know. I have this list, long list, what I've got to do this year. So I've got to take vitamins and eat oranges and spinach and something, because we've got a lot to do. But I write full time too, so I mean, this is what I do, and I wouldn't want to do anything else. So just forge ahead.
Yeah, that's great. Renee, can you share your media links and tell the listeners where they can find you?
Yeah, actually, anybody can find me on my website, obviously, reneefolsom.com. And on the website, there's actually an area where you can sign up for my newsletter, and that's, like, the best way to keep up with all of my releases and everything like that, especially with Facebook really not showing anything whenever I post anything on Facebook page. So signing up for my newsletter will actually get you a free box set. I have my the first paranormal romance that I ever released is a serial box set, and I have that for anybody who signs up for the newsletter can download it and put it on their Kindle for free, and just kind of a little incentive to get people to sign up.
That's
and
so cool.
Learn more about the newsletter.
Very nice.
And yeah, and of course I'm on Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and all that, but really the newsletter is like the best way to keep in touch. So.
Great. And Shyla, can you tell us what you're currently working on? You were so quiet.
I'm managing children right now. I stay at home with a 2- and a 4-year-old, so I'm like trying to keep their little voices from being off of the radio. I actually am kind of going a little bit crazy. It's a big year for me. This year I've done a lot more shifting in length. So I'm writing novels versus novellas, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm working on a new motorcycle club series, The Kings of Chaos, and I'm working on my third book in my series, Wesson Rebels MC, which I know a lot of people are looking forward to. And then I'm also working on the next book in my Dueling Devils motorcycle club books right now, and that's going to be actually called Hand Salvation. I know a lot of people are really looking forward to that one, so I'm just sort of rotating them and trying to stay sane and get as much sleep as possible.
Sounds good.
We can all relate to that.
Can you share your media links with the listeners?
Yes. You can find pretty much everything from me at www.shylacolt.com. But I have a newsletter sign up, which I always suggest. It's a monthly thing, and it will tell you everything that's going on with me, what I have coming out. There's also an Ask a Cult section, so if you have something that you were dying to know about a character or a series, that's a really good place, too, to go ahead and send me a question, and I do answer those every month.
Sounds good. And how about you, Kristen? Can you share your media links?
Well, I have my website, which is just kristenlovell.com. I have Facebook, my author Facebook page. I have Instagram, Twitter. All those are just my name, Kristen Lovell. I keep it simple.
Okay. Desiree?
Well, you can find me on my blog, which is desiremeonly.com, or my website, desireeholt.com. I'm on Facebook as Desiree Holt. I'm on Twitter as Desiree Holt. I'm on Pinterest and Google and Sue, the new platform, also as Desiree Holt. So you can find me just about everywhere. I make sure that nobody misses me.
Okay, that's great. Randy?
If you can go to my website, you can find everything about me, randyalexander.com. It's R-A-N-D-I, Randy with an I. And at the bottom of the homepage, it's all of my links. I also have a newsletter you can sign up for. And I have quite a few free reads that you can download it from different places. And I have a new feature on there. It's called Ask Randy a Question. So if you have a question for me, it can be as personal or embarrassing as possible. I won't answer it if it's too much, but please leave a question for me, and I'm going to do a video and answer them. And also at the bottom of my website are all of the places that I'm going to be appearing for the year. And the first of those is Wild Wicked Weekend with Desiree Holt. She's going to be there, and I'm very excited to see her again February 19th.
That goes both ways. And don't forget to tell them Jackson Young is going to be there.
Jackson Young is going to be there, too. Thank you.
Awesome. Sable, can you share your media links?
Sure. Just you can find me at sablehunter.com, and on there you'll find the newsletter and all the social media links. That's the easiest, but I'm like the others. I'm everywhere. So I'm so many places, I don't know where I am, so that's bad.
Did anybody else have any signings or events they wanted to share? Shyla, Renee, Kristen?
I actually do have a signing coming up, but it's not until the beginning of the fall, like it's around the beginning of August. And actually the venue has changed several times, so I haven't been sharing the information yet just because I'm not sure exactly where it's going to be or if it's going to change again. I kind of wanted to stay where it was supposed to be, but it's going to be in the Orlando area. And I actually think Kristen signed up for it as well. It's the Indie Book Fest in Orlando, Florida.
Yes,
okay.
I'll be going to that as well.
Great, sounds good. I have a little bit of information I need to announce before I close the show out tonight. Buku Publishing has three new releases this week: Dark Moments and Silver Linings by Jamie Lynn Booth, Pretty Face, Dixie Dreaming 2 by Sable Hunter, The Evolution of Elsa Christ, the Criminal Erotic Series Book 2 by Michelle Gwynn. Gumbo Yaya can be found at facebook.com/gumboyayaradio. Buku Publishing can be found at facebook.com/BukuLLC and at BukuLLCPublishing.com. Ladies, I would like to thank you all for coming and sharing with me tonight. I have thoroughly enjoyed your company. Loved speaking with you all.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you
for having us.
Everybody, have a good night.
Thanks. Y'all have one day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye.